Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to Ride from the Left Coast. I'm your host, Linda. Thanks for joining us and everyone in the chat room. That would be Rod and Ron, and hopefully others will join us. Yeah, my voice changed. Oh boy, here we go. So this show is brought to us by PatriotFamilies.com. It's a pretty nice day, about 67 degrees, sunny and nice. Right after I am finished with the show, I am headed down to the city council meeting where there's tons of things on the agenda. And I'm going to be speaking on a non-agenda item so that I can lay it out, and you will hear that speech in a second. There's so much going on, I was, yeah, far from it. So they're talking about all of the same nonsense they always talk about and fighting over what they're going to do with the city. And hopefully we have sound. I could get a sound check from Ron if he's hanging in there. So if you have to refresh, that's always an option. Anyway, so what I'm dealing with is trying to wake these people up. I put together a three-minute speech. Thanks, Ron. Okay, we have sound. And I'm handing out, before I speak, I'm going to be handing out different information to the council members by way of the city clerk, and after the meeting they will get them. And here's one of them, and this also talks about what Glenn was talking about today, which is the Common Core stuff, and apparently it is really evil. And it was written into, it was part of the stimulus package, written by Van Jones, the Tides Foundation, and the Apollo Alliance. Evil, evil stuff. So we'll get into that in a minute. One of the things that my city council will be receiving, oh, you're on a roll today. How many of those did you have today? Those things you were talking about refilling. Anyway, this headline is Alabama to Agenda 21, i.e. Get Lost. And this was June 15th, 2012. This was written. Apparently they've done this. I know there's other... Yeah, you're being incorrigible. Anyway, number three. Okay, gotcha. The there are three now. It was Oklahoma, Arizona, as far as I know, and I know Rod can probably corroborate this, and Alabama have said goodbye to Agenda 21. So it says, any ideas the United Nations had about taking over the state of Alabama are gone. Both houses of Alabama's legislature unanimously passed Senate Bill 477, known around Montgomery as the Due Process for Property Rights Act, and by doing so, sent a loud and clear message to anyone wishing to impose United Nations control on Alabama to back off. While almost no Democrat media cheerleader mentioned the bill, the law will likely become the model for get-tough pushback efforts against the cowards on the left who want the United Nations to do the dirty work of putting America under international socialist law. And all this stuff's tied into what we're getting into later. Using strong and specific language, SB 477 orders all state agencies to refuse to cooperate in any UN scheme to subvert the sovereignty of Alabama. It says the state of Alabama and all political subdivisions may not adopt or implement policy recommendations that deliberately or inadvertently infringe or restrict private property rights without due process, as may be required by policy recommendations originating in or traceable to Agenda 21. So that was pretty strong. The insidious Agenda 21 has been using many non-governmental organizations to work at the grassroots toward forcing one world government on the people of many parts of the world. Of course, as the law points out, the UN has enlisted a broad array of non-governmental and intergovernmental organizations in its effort to foist Agenda 21 onto the world. Most notably, a Germany-based group called ICLEI, former known as the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives, but the new measure takes direct aim at that problem too. The state of Alabama and all political subdivisions may not enter into any agreement, expend any sum of money, or receive funds, contracting services, or giving financial aid to or from such any such entities as defined in Agenda 21 documents, which is pretty clear and pretty concise, although Agenda 21 has not passed the United States Senate, passing SB 477 with complete bipartisan support makes it clear that Alabama doesn't trust Senate Majority Leader Democrat Harry Reid, who does, not to ram it through a la Obamacare. See, they're all connected. Alabamans are not fooled by Democrats' deceptive smart growth or green job schemes that insert federal funding tentacles into the sovereign state of Alabama's affairs. And this is what they've done in every single instance with this Agenda 21, because they're dangling money in front of bankrupt states, counties, cities, and municipalities all over this country. And this is going on with this Common Core education, which is absolutely evil. And that's mentioned in this one. This is another piece of information that my city council members are going to receive tonight. The New World Order and UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development Agenda has penetrated America's public school system. This is an extreme leftist ideology. They are developing a global matrix for tracking a child from cradle to grave. You guys can't believe this stuff. And this is all in the government documents, the stimulus package, and the report put out by the Department of Education. That's the Federal Department of Education. So you guys, anybody wants to check it, we'll go check it on those sites. If you haven't been following the latest developments around the Common Core state standards, it is high time that you should. The New World Order will undoubtedly impact developmental education system as we know it. The Common Core state standards are a set of high-quality academic expectations in English, language arts, and mathematics. They deliberately leave history out of this curriculum. Why would they not teach history to our children? If they teach history to our children as we were taught when we were in school, it would legitimize the Constitution and teach our children why America should never give up its sovereignty. The UN and their Agenda 21 program is out to end America's sovereignty so they can implement their New World Order, one world government and one world currency. Similarly, included in the Common Core state standards for mathematical practice is the expectation that college and career-ready students will be able to construct viable arguments and critique the reasoning of others. Oh, you're going to love the data collecting. Those who oppose the New World Order and Agenda 21, which includes developing abilities to analyze situations over population of the world, justify their conclusions, world population reduction, and make plausible arguments to defend reducing the world population by 94%. This will give an ecosystem policy, ecosystem PDF, epa.gov, so you can check that out, and sustainable development agenda21.pdf policy to the world. So all of this stuff is documented, and we need to go and check all this stuff out. This emphasis on the ongoing and intentional development of students' research, analysis, and argumentation skills is repeated in the Investigate the World Capacity as defined in the Global Competence Matrix, which calls for students to identify and weigh relevant evidence, to analyze, integrate, and synthesize evidence, and to develop an argument based on compelling evidence and draw defensible conclusions. Common Core standards are being introduced to every country in the world to indoctrinate the youth of the world to the globalization of the world. One of the inscriptions carved into the Georgia Guidestones proposes an elite class will maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature, after which is proposed guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Love these little definitions. In comparison to the current global population, 8 billion, the envisioned total of 500 million would constitute a reduction of no less than 94% from today's total. The Club of Rome in their goals for mankind proposes. The result ideal sustainable population is hence more than 500 million, but less than 1 billion. Now, this is the Common Core mission statement. The Common Core state standards provide a consistent, clear understanding of what students are expected to learn so teachers and parents know what they need to do to help them. The standards are designed to be robust and relevant to the real world, reflecting the knowledge and skills that our young people need for success in college and careers. With American students fully prepared for the future, our communities will be best positioned to compete successfully in the new global economy. This is also an attack on Christianity and the Bible. The Bible and the Christian values our founding fathers used to draw up the Constitution of the United States of America threatens the New World Order's agenda while promoting the Islamic beliefs and the Muslim religion. Not only is this threat impending on the public school system, its goal is to reach into parochial and Catholic schools as well. Oh, and homeschooling and charter schools. The below document is from the upcoming ISNA Education Forum coming up this March. Don't be fooled by the title of the conference. Their goal is for all schools, not just Islamic schools. The Common Core state standards is not what our children need. The very basics of education, as we know it, would be out the door, and certainly no critical thinking of individual students would be allowed. It's called ISNA Core Standards. To date, 45 states and the District of Columbia have adopted this Common Core statement. In ELA and mathematics, and one state, Minnesota, adopted only the ELA standards. States are now focusing on the implementation of the standards. Because it is a state-driven effort, implementation timelines will vary for each state. The map below, they have a map, illustrates in what school year each state expects to fully implement the standards. This is just horrifying. One of the things that isn't being discussed enough is getting attention. Is how data tracking of students is connected to the Common Core. It isn't just assessment scores. This lady, Joy Pullman, pointed out that her article last week on it's called Data Mining. Listen to this. Everyone, I've got a guest and I've got Mike from the hot seat. Welcome, everyone. The department is also funding and mandating databases, and they're going to store this in that Utah grid building, I'll betcha, that could expand each kid's academic records into a comprehensive personal record, including health care history, disciplinary record, family income range, family voting status, and religious affiliation. According to a 2012 Pioneer Institute report and the National Center for Educational Statistics, this is where they're getting their information here, under agreements, every state signed to get 2009 stimulus funds, they must share students, they're dangling money, academic data with the federal government. They introduce a video from eScholar that makes the whole process seem benign. I've seen this, and I can't remember where the site is, but you guys can look this stuff up. So this one lady, Gretchen, writes, eScholar is a company funded by government money, stimulus money, to gather over 3,000 data points on your child and teachers so your child doesn't get off track. Since when did the government start tracking human behavior and making the determination of what is off track and what is a child's greatest potential? Isn't that up to the child and his or her parents? This is what they've done in China and Russia over the years. They take the kids at a young age and determine what they want them to be. After 3 or 4 years of, they want them to be gymnasts, they train them and then they give them back to the parents. There's no choice there. That's what they're talking about here. Can anyone answer this question? How can eScholar offer a personalized track for Bobby when Bobby is stuck in a common educational system? Another disturbing element of Common Core can be found in its data collecting. So what is data collecting and how does it affect those subjected to Common Core? The panel of teachers and Glenn Beck explained that ultimately the Department of Education is gathering information on, aside from test scores, students' nicknames, religion, political affiliations, addresses, extracurricular activities, and when they pick up the bus, the bus stop times. The teachers feel like they are simply data drones, and one teacher said it soberly. The teachers also said that they have felt intimidated by government officials pushing Common Core. It says, include rigorous content and application of knowledge through high-order skills, build upon strengths and lessons of current state standards, are informed by other top-performing countries so that all students are prepared to succeed in our global economy and society and are evidence-based. The other thing that these clowns are doing, they have in this data mining, and they're psychologically evaluating these kids. They have special chairs they put them in to monitor their posture. They're monitoring stress by having special computer mouse, mouse tracking where it's sensitive to that to see if the kid's stressed out. They have face recognition cameras, data mining on these children to see their reactions to certain things. They are also it's huge. It's absolutely insidious. And they're talking about using MRI technology as well. It's unbelievable. Okay, the next one is, so I'm going to try to do this. I want to get into this thing that Ron sent me on the, it's called TPA, but I want to do this speech for you that I'm going to deliver tonight, and then I can welcome your calls once we get onto the TPA deal. And that's like one page and a quarter. Hey, Bill, welcome as well. Everybody in the chat room, welcome. This is my city council speech, so I will address the council and say to these gentlemen and ladies, all of the problems we talk about, such as changing Mission Avenue, the narrowing of Coast Highway, Prop 8 at the Supreme Court, Common Core education, the destruction of the Central Valley, smart growth, low-income housing, sustainable development, all of them spring from the same fountainhead, that is UN Agenda 21, sustainable development. In 1990, there was a company formed in Germany called ICLEI. The objective was to turn slowly all of the U.S. communities into little Soviets. ICLEI helped write Agenda 21 for the UN, all 40 chapters of it, which was then produced at the Earth Summit in 1992 in Rio. 2 years later, they produced the Earth Charter. The goal has been to enforce this in every community in the world. Worse, the communities, just like here in Oceanside, actually pay ICLEI to help them do this. They, ICLEI, take over a community, creating non-elected boards and council and regional governments answerable to no one. That is the definition of a Soviet. Powerful government agencies run by bureaucrats, answerable to no one. Three states and many U.S. counties have outlawed UN Agenda 21 and ICLEI from their cities, counties, and states. Arizona, Alabama, and Oklahoma, including Carroll County, Maryland, there were five courageous county commissions who actually declared war on the UN's plan to control American cities via Agenda 21 and sustainable development. First, they shot down the county's UN-inspired sustainable development office and terminated its manager. Secondly, they terminated the county contract with ICLEI, which controls over 600 American cities, to enforce the UN Agenda 21 scheme. Thirdly, they rejected the county comprehensive development plan and the sustainable development scheme that had been written by ICLEI as part of the blueprint to take control of our cities. Bravo for those guys. I'm not holding my breath for California. One of the end goals of this scheme is to reduce the world's population by 95%, which translates to a figure of no more than 1 billion people. We should ask ourselves, am I high up enough on the food chain of elites to be spared this fate? The Common Core system of education I mentioned earlier is so evil, you need to learn about it, and you need to stop it. Please do your own research. Question with boldness. As Jefferson once said, question with boldness even the very existence of God, for if there be a God, he would surely prefer bold questioning over blindfolded fear. Thank you. That's my speech. Okay. I hope that I didn't go over 3 minutes and I didn't have you guys time it, but We'll see. Okay, this is one that I sent to everybody that I had emails for in our Patriot Families. And if I didn't, forgive me, I'll get it out to you. It says, Keep America Independent, Stop Trade Promotion Authority. Well, I hadn't heard of that one, but I have heard of SPP and all the things that had gone before. So it says, on March 1st, the Obama administration released a 2013 trade policy agenda that calls on Congress to authorize Trade Promotion Authority, TPA. This TPA, also known as Fast Track Trade Authority, oh man, they're all using the same progressive words, provides for expedited congressional handling of trade pacts and is generally considered necessary for Congress to pass a new trade deal. Under Fast Track rules, a trade pact must have an up or down vote in both House and Senate without amendment within 90 days of being submitted by the executive branch. Congress has never rejected a trade agreement that was submitted under Fast Track rules. A major objection to authorizing TPA for the Obama administration is that Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations to Congress, not the president. Awarding TPA to the executive branch cedes a great deal of power to regulate commerce to the president. Furthermore, this is so frightening, the multilateral trade agreements such as the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, that result from presidential exercise of TPA set up a new multilateral panels and tribunals that regulate U.S. trade. These multilateral entities are deemed superior to the U.S. Congress and courts regarding regulation of trade within their respective trade blocs, which amounts to a clear violation of the U.S. Constitution. President Obama is asking for TPA at this time to help his administration get congressional approval of a, Trans-Pacific Partnership, free trade, this is not good, pact by December 31st this year. He has also announced the launching of negotiations for a Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, TTIP, free trade deal, which he hopes to conclude by 2015. A second major objection to authorizing TPA for the Obama administration is that it would facilitate the administration's negotiations and congressional approval of free trade agreements such as the TPP and the TTIP and the SOB. Such free trade deals help to bring about economic integration, which then generally leads to political integration and ultimate loss of sovereignty for the nations who were originally entered into these free trade agreements. For example, many European nations establish a European-wide free trade area by means of a series of free trade agreements beginning in the 1950s. This economic integration has evolved into political integration, whereby 27 formerly sovereign European nations now find themselves ruled by a new supranational entity, the European Union. Similarly, the continent-wide free trade area established by the NAFTA agreement in 1993 has evolved toward a North American Union. Following this, the earlier trajectory of the European nations from free trade area into political union with Mexico, Canada, and eventually the Pacific Rim nations of the TPP and the 27 nations of the EU would mean the end of our national independence, along with the loss of the United States Constitution and the freedom and prosperity that we have enjoyed while living under its protection. A couple more paragraphs, and I will invite you guys to call in 646-378-0321. As most of you already know, it is getting late in the game to stop all of this merger madness. It is even an article of faith for many senators and representatives, especially Republicans, that free trade agreements will lead to more jobs and greater prosperity for our nation, even though our experience with NAFTA proves otherwise. And virtually no one in Congress seems to understand how free trade agreements lead to political integration. That's because they're stupid. Nonetheless, we have to start somewhere to turn this whole movement towards regional trade agreements and eventual world government around. A good place to take a stand is to oppose Trade Promotion Authority, the TPA, although no bill has been introduced in Congress yet to authorize TPA. Such legislation is likely to be introduced in the next month or so. Oh, well, gee, let's just look at our watches. Hi, Oz. Welcome to the show. Again, 646-378-0321. I'd love to get your take on this, Ron and Mike, and anyone else who would love to call in, because what I'm looking at, these people are so stupid, especially our Congress. I mean, we have a 9% or probably less approval rating of these cone heads that we reelect 90% of the time. Now, who are the stupid ones? I would say that the voters must be. They think that this is going to create more jobs. If they would stay away from all this stupid legislation, all this Agenda 21, all of this meddling, all of this McFascist ruling and central planning and total management of every aspect of our lives, there would be tons of jobs. Get rid of the stupid EPA, the stupid UN Agenda 21, Common Core, and all the rest of this nonsense. We would be like totally roaring 20s on steroids. I mean, this is just horrible. Again, you guys, I would welcome anybody's calls. I've only got about 35 minutes left or 34 minutes. 646-378-0321. And I want your take on Common Core and my speech and what's going on with our all this Agenda 21 and the states who are finally waking up. It seems to me with the timelines that we're not waking up quick enough, but all I can do is keep trying. So, again, I'm going to go ahead and put that one in there just to have it so you guys can read it. 378-0321. Anyway, so that's kind of what I went through today. I did watch the show on the Common Core, and Glenn was trying to explain it. He had like 7 different documents, and they were huge. They were like 2 to 3 inches thick on all of this stuff with the Common Core education. People, the only way that, according to the people who are fighting this, for the parents and the people in the communities to get rid of Common Core is you have to constantly call everybody involved, the superintendents, not the teachers because they don't have much to say about it, but every state senator, every state assembly person, every governor, every legislator in the state level to say no to this and say stop taking the money, stop signing on to this stuff. It's evil and we're not doing it. And continue until, and then make sure that they don't slip it in under another name like they've done with their sustainable development, smart growth, and the rest of it. Because that's what they'll do. They'll shapeshift because they're serpents and they're evil entities. So, again, if you guys want to weigh in on all this stuff and let me know if you have any great ideas, please, 646-378-0321. I'm going to be, like I said, leaving to talk to my city council. Again, they only give me 3 minutes to speak, and that's why I'm doing the handouts. And every time I get to speak, I will continue from where I left off and try to get more information to them and try to connect the dots. One of my friends here suggested that I put together or opt for a very concise 3-minute YouTube video that I can set up and have it shown to the entire chambers, and then get myself like a probably 2 minutes after speaking.
I can help you,
Linda?
Yes. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Are we cutting out a little, or are we fine?
It doesn't sound like it to me. You'll have to have the guys in the chat room type it in.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a little stuttering on the computer's part. What you're talking about here.
Okay.
You and I both, we touched on this Saturday night on my show, and quite honestly, I didn't think that the education part of the show was going to dominate as
right.
It did, in conjunction with this TPA deal and this core that you're talking about. You know, I was talking about the C-Scope in Texas.
Yes.
Which not even my good friend John, who lives in Texas, knew about it, although he has a 9-year-old daughter. So, look, let's just cut right through the chase here, Linda, and the rest of you folks that are out there. We can write letters. We can stomp on our feet. We can wait for Congress to save us. But it's not going to happen. What we need to do is to defund the entire ballgame.
I agree.
Period.
What do you do if you've got kids in school, whatever age, from preschool all the way to college or mm-hmm. through high school is what they're targeting, or probably 5-year-olds is what they're targeting all the way through the end of high school. And, and okay, you've got all these communities, and you have all these 50 states, and you've got all these school systems, and you've got the state capital, like we have Sacramento, like, you know, every state has its own. And then these people have to stand up, though, before it takes its root. And they,
well,
they
right. Well, Linda, it's up to the parents to,
right,
when they, before the school season starts, you politely find out who the teachers are.
Right.
You set up a meeting. You go to the meeting and you say, okay, show me your entire curriculum.
Exactly.
And you go through it. This is unacceptable, unacceptable, unacceptable. Either you pull it,
mm-hmm,
or my kid isn't going to go to school that day or that week.
Right.
Because, Linda, what would happen if the schools were empty? Do you think somebody would get the point?
Yeah, because there would be no money. They don't get any money.
Thank you. See, that's the point.
I know.
See, we, the taxpayers, we are funding our own deaths.
I know.
Now,
I know.
To what I said. I didn't say our own bankruptcy. See, most people think this is about making us broke. No.
No.
This is about...
We already are broke.
This is about eugenics.
Exactly.
This is about... Who, first of all, who's ever useless, and I'm talking about the welfare class, they are going to be executed.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, Brotherhood of Darkness, look what George Bernard Shaw said about if you're not useful.
Oh, I know. I've seen his clips. I know. Evil.
Those of us that are useful will be the slaves. We'll be the car washers. We'll be the attendants. We'll be the servants. But you see, it's going to be the aristocracy.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the super race.
Ugh.
All right?
Like the Fourth Reich.
Well, no. Just forget that because, you know, I mean, Hitler was just one guy, one nation. We're talking this
global.
Is a global deal.
Yeah.
So this isn't about a Reich. This is the end all to be
deal.
All.
Oh,
but,
I know.
So the bottom line is, look, we're not going to stop them with the bloody revolution. I get it. I get about the stockpiling. I get everybody's anxiety about, you know, the Second Amendment. I mean, you know where I stand on it, too. But let me tell you something. First of all, they don't even need any more Second Amendment legislation. That they're buying ammo by the billions.
I know.
Which has a twofold effect. One, a short supply. And two, because of the demand, you know, the price will skyrocket.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
They don't even need to have Second Amendment legislation. As far as I'm concerned, all this crap in the lamestream media is just a deflection and a diversion.
Sure.
Because you know what? At the end of the day, to vote for these people, and if we continue to supply our tax money, well, they're winning. Period.
I know. And I have Ron on the air with us. Welcome, Ron. Thank you so much, everybody, for calling in. Are you still there?
Sorry, I had to answer a phone call, and I'll be right back.
Okay. Keep going, Mike. I didn't want to keep him on hold too long.
No, that's fine. Well, now, Ozua says you can't stop people paying taxes, though. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, a few of us will wind up in prison, but...
Sure.
I don't think there's enough manpower to arrest 10, 20 million people.
There isn't. That's true.
You don't have the manpower, and you don't have the space. So, with those two things in conjunction, quite honestly, there's nothing that the government can do about it. The point is, we're too weak.
Right.
We're too scared. We want to hold on to our iPads and our iPhones and our unreality TV.
You know,
and what
people
are doing is, and then I'll finish this thought, and you can go ahead. What they want to do is, they want to escape it being them. They want to push this on to our children and to our grandchildren. Well, you know what? Blood guilt is on you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what they call blood libel. I know exactly what you're talking about. This is heinous, what these people with their heads in the sand. I mean, they're selfish. That's very cowardly and very selfish. Look, you know, when you look at... All you have to do is look at any time in history when you talk about cowardice and versus courage. What people don't understand, Mike, and I know that you do, and I know that Ron does and everybody out there in our chat room, this if this is about stuff for you, you're crazy because you ain't taking it with you no matter which direction you're traveling when you die, right? Mm. Well, you ain't taking it to either place. What the hell difference does it make? This is about freedom. Get off your butt and fight for it. It ain't going to come to you on a silver platter. They'll take it away from you in a heartbeat.
Well,
you know?
See, Linda, you hit the nail on the head. We're not going to be able to take Xfinity or DirecTV with us.
Who cares?
We're not going to be able to see Keeping Up with the Kardashians in the afterlife, whatever that form may take.
Right.
And again, this is about, you know, you and I, we're old enough. I'm going to be 48 next week, so.
Okay, you're close to Ron because he just turned 48.
Yeah.
You're all, hey. Let's not be having that over the hill talk, shall we?
I said we're old enough that we may escape the purge.
I doubt
right.
it.
But we may not escape the bankruptcy, but we might escape the purge.
I'm going to because I'm going to be in the hills with Bill.
But our kids and our grandchildren, they might not be so lucky. See, this is what people don't get. When you really read into the stuff as you have and as I have and as I am, it's not about redistribution of the wealth. It's what it is. It's spreading poverty, and it'll lead to our eventual murders. Because, again, according to George Bernard Shaw, if you are not able to sustain a good life for the state, you will be mercifully executed.
Exactly.
And that's what eugenics is all about.
Oh, I know.
Do you know, euthanasia.
Go ahead, Ron.
Do you know where you can find that at in the law right now, Michael?
No.
Okay. I have a couple of good friends of mine that are going through some trials and tribulations with the Internal Revenue Service. And several years ago when I got involved with them, they put together, and I don't have it right in front of me, doggone it, so I can't give you the exact title section. You remember Terry Schiavo?
Of
yes.
course, the woman that was so-called mercifully put to death by being starved to death.
Yes, sir. Now, do you remember they called an emergency session of Congress over that?
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Did you know that Congress passed law?
Probably
in
not.
That,
probably
in that emergency before. Session. And that law can be found under Title 42 of the U.S. Code, which, interestingly enough, Title 42 deals with property.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't have it in front of me, so forgive me if I get it wrong. And it has much to do with how Terry's case was titled. In other words, in the case, it said Terry Schiavo in rel, okay, and there's legal implications to in rem or in rel. Basically, the law that they passed was dealing with property and specifically with religious property.
Good God.
The property, what's unstated, the property they're talking about is mm-hmm. the human being, the soul, the flesh and blood human being, okay? And what it said is that no state can dispose of or enter into any kind of disposition over property, including religious property, unless the state can show a compelling interest in the disposition of the property. Now, you'll hear... Matter of fact, today they were talking to the Supreme Court, and this is something else I talked about long ago about the gay marriage thing.
Sure.
Sotomayor asked a question of one of the lawyers.
Sotomayor.
Yeah, right. So under your scenario, if the state shows a compelling interest, then the state would be able to negate anyone 55 and older from becoming married, if the object of marriage is to procreate. Basically, what the law says, in a nutshell, is that if the state can show a compelling interest in the disposition of the property, they can order your death because you've been determined to be a burden on the state.
Mm.
Oh, lovely.
Well, Ron,
oh my God.
I'm looking at Title 42 now. There's 159 chapters.
Yes, there is.
I mean, how the hell do you read through that?
Well, you don't. And if I had it, if you'll bear with me, I'll go find. I see
well,
the binder from here.
You just have to Google it.
You'll never find it. You will never find it Googling it. Let me tell you something.
I just did. Title 42, the Public Health and Welfare. No?
Right, but you will never find the specific section that deals with Terry Schiavo's case.
Well, probably not. Yeah, you're right.
And let me tell you, you go back to the Internal Revenue Code. I've been poring over the Internal Revenue Code for years.
Mm-hmm.
There's two separate bodies of code on the books, okay? This is something important to understand. First of all, you have the law. The law is whatever the legislative body passes.
Right.
And the president or the executive signs into law. That's the law. The law is then taken and handed to a group of lawyers who codify. In other words, they write down and put it in code their interpretation of what the law says. Now, the other side of that is you have the Code of Federal Regulations. Those are the regulations implementing the code, which is the interpretation of the law. So you have the USC, which is the code, and then you have the CFR, which is the Code of Federal Regulations. The regulations are written by the bureaucratic agencies that are given charge to carry out or enforce the law or the code as it's written. CFR, if you go to 26 CFR 3401 and look it up, you can't find it. It's not published anymore.
Oh, wow.
It's been sealed under order of national security.
Nice.
Section 3401, nice. The Code of Federal Regulations, Section 3401, you know what it deals with? It deals with filling out a form W-4 form.
Right.
Mm.
How in the hell is that national security interest, number one? And why can't I read what it says? I know what it says because I've got it here. And what people don't realize is when you fill out a W-4 at an employer, you're doing under the law what's called making an election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't know what you're electing to do, but you're doing it because you were told this, oh, you got to fill this out. What you're doing is you're making a statement that you're basically a government or state employee and that you're entitled to government benefits under what's called covered employment. And you're opting to have your paycheck treated as if it were wages paid to a federal employee, therefore taxable as income. But that's a whole, I'm digressing way off the point. Let me go grab this folder, and I'll be right back, guys.
Yeah, Mike, this was many months ago when Ron was talking about this stuff, he was educating us at Patriot Families on his radio show about the tax code and all these intricacies of W-2s, W-4s, and what the law actually says and what the codes say and the tax codes actually say under Title 26, whatever. There's so much involved, but basically what the Fed has done to an employer or a state, you know, inside of a state, is they have turned them into tax collectors, is what they've done. And the people who know what the true laws are opt out from it, and then of course they get all, you know, their panties in a bunch, and they try to make bad things for these people. But legally, they can stand up for their rights. And this one employer said, "I'm not doing it. I'm paying my people cash because I'm not a tax collector. You want to pay me to be on your, you know, to be a tax collector? Fine." And apparently they never bothered the person again. And I don't know if it was a man or a woman.
Linda, you've been doing some reading, evidently. That was a female back in the 1940s.
Okay.
She said the government could not compel her to be an unpaid tax collector.
Right. That was your deal, and I remember that because it stuck with me, because I was like, holy smokes, I needed to know more about it. But with everything else that's going on with Common Core and Agenda 21 and my stupid city council and all the rest of it.
It's hard to keep track of all this morass. It really is.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I was seeing the wrong folder, but it's not important in the grand scheme of
keep track, or we could just accept the fact that we can dance in circles all we want, but
right.
Until we take matters into our own hands by defunding all of this, I mean, well, we could just go around in circles. How else do you stop it if you don't cut off the money? That's all.
Mike,
I don't know.
And it's not even the money. And this is the thing. This is the point I was trying to make, and I've been trying to make, God almighty, since I started on Patriot Families and got on the radio.
Right.
And that is your consent. Your consent and your consent alone is the key to this whole thing. If we stop consenting, it falls apart.
Well, Ron, I think, but the only way to stop consenting is to stop feeding the machine.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, Michael.
Right.
Okay. It's take a page out of Nancy Reagan's book. Just say no. You do realize, see, we have to understand, we have to come to the point that we comprehend that the only thing that gives these strips of paper that we call money value is our consent.
Well, I agree, and this is why I've, first of all, have stopped giving Washington, D.C., all of my tax dollars up front. Between now and April 15th of 2014, I'm trying to talk the people into just saying no. But if I can't get enough people, what am I to do?
Let me tell you, back in 2003, when I really got on a roll with this, and I talked to my wife, we had a very serious conversation over several days, and I told her, I said, look, you know, I'm all in. It's either this or we walk away. You've got to tell me, because I can't do this without you.
Mm.
And I told her, I said, you know, if I do this, they may well come after you as well as me. And it may well mean that I end up in prison, and you could as well. And we'll lose everything. So you've got to make the decision now. You tell me yes or you tell me no.
Well, I mean, I know what the answer I would get.
Well, exactly. And see, I'm telling you, because I told my wife, I said, you know, before the conversation, what started the thing was, I told her, it might be best if we get divorced. And I didn't mean that because I don't love her. I meant that because I do love her. I care about her immensely.
Mm-hmm.
And she took it the wrong way, got upset, left the house. She didn't come back till 2 in the morning, you know. And we sat down, and I told her, I said, look, we got to talk about this. I know you think I'm crazy. And she did. I mean, my whole family thought I was off my rocker.
Sure.
Nuts, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And I told her, I said, I'm serious. I've never been more serious in my life. I cannot talk the talk unless I'm walking the walk.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I just can't. To me, that would be hypocritical. And so
How have you escaped wrath?
How have I escaped wrath? Whose wrath? My family,
the
my
IRS.
Wife, government.
Oh, the IRS, government.
You know, I've been, see, you piss in their ear long enough. Look, the IRS is no different than the congregation down at your local church. They like to have their ears tickled. So you tell them what they want to hear, and you can go through. Look, I've been in a letter-writing campaign with these bastards since 2003. We've been trading mail back and forth. And, you know, it starts out, oh, we didn't get your returns. And I said, well, here's the return receipts where I filed them. And they sent me a thing back and said, we've determined your returns are frivolous. And I said, oh, would that be the ones that you said you didn't get? I mean, which is it? Either you got them or you got them and they're frivolous, or you didn't get them. I mean,
oh, Ron, let me ask you a question. Did they send you a letter, 3175C?
Oh, I'm sure they have. Dude, I've got, I mean, Mike, I've got binders upon binders.
No, the reason why I ask is because I just got one yesterday.
Well, give me the rundown on 3175C so I don't have to look it up.
They claim that I filed a frivolous return.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that, hold on, this gets better. And that I wrote them a threatening or frivolous letter in November of 2012, which I know I didn't. So I tried to call them yesterday, and they're already closed.
No, don't
you'll like
call
this one. No, watch this. You're going to like this one. So I call them on my way home from work, and I get some girl. She's like, what tax year are you calling for? I says, I have no idea. you send me this cryptic, threatening letter that I file out the frivolous lawsuit. She goes, is that 3175C? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? She said, sir, that was a mistake. A computer generated it to over 4,000 people.
Oh, my God.
Imagine.
My behind.
I look at it this way.
See, because I've gotten the frivolous return letter, and I can tell you that falls under 6701 and 6702, the Internal Revenue Code, Title 26. And I can tell you verbatim what those sections say. And they don't give a damn.
Wow.
And basically what it says is that in order for something to be frivolous, it has to be substantially incorrect and make an argument.
Guys, you know what? It's bath time. I'm sorry. I got to run.
That's okay. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
And Linda, I guess you'll be there this Saturday. Ron, if you can make it at 6 o'clock, I would love to continue this conversation because they will be talking about that letter
this
Saturday.
Oh, my gosh. Now, I would love to.
I know a little something on the tax code.
Yeah, he does. Absolutely.
It'll be 6 o'clock again. It seems to be working out okay.
Yeah, take care of those munchkins.
If you get a chance, and I know it'll be on the bookshelves up there where you're at, get a book by Irwin Schiff. I know you've heard of Peter Schiff. Mm-hmm. Irwin is his father. The Great Income Tax Hoax. Get it and read it.
I'll have to check it out. All right, I got to run. I got to help with the baby.
Okay, be blessed. Have fun.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Oh, man. I mean, everything that's happening and the Trade Promotion Authority.
The TPP? Did you like that, Linda? I thought that it, like,
oh, my gosh.
Off.
Yeah, and this didn't this start? I mean, I know about NAFTA. Wasn't there that STP thing that Bush was dealing with?
Well, absolutely. You see, this is just a continuation of the whole thing. And this is, it goes all the way back to the very beginning of Agenda 21.
Yes.
It's all the same crap. They change terminology and try to disguise it as something other than what it is.
Yeah.
And it's all the same junk.
That's why I pretty much started my speech to explain that all of this is coming from the same wellspring. This is under that Agenda 21 nonsense. And I've tried in so many different fashions. I've had whiteboards. I've had ways to connect dots, 6 ways to Sunday. I'm going to try to do a YouTube for these people. Maybe that's how it has to go because everybody's so used to watching, you know, the allegory of the cave box in the living room. Maybe that's how I get through to them. You know what I mean? Kind of dangle in front of them what they're used to seeing and getting their information from. Maybe that's the only way to get through, you know, the brainwaves. I don't know. I'll have to work on that for the next time we have a council meeting because people have to know about this stuff and they need to get ticked off. They need to get, I hope they get frightened, you know?
And we've talked about it before. All you got to do is go read the UN Charter because it's all there.
Oh, my gosh. The Earth Charter, anything that's gone with ICLEI, you can go to the Wildlands Project, all of it. And they're all the same, and it's evil. And this Common Core is right up there. It's all part of it. In fact, the first people that Glenn had on his show, this was about 2-3 weeks ago, they mentioned Rosa Corey's name, and Glenn says, he says, is this all connected to UN Agenda 21? And she says, absolutely. I mean,
have you ever read, and I know you may have, but do you recall the Charter of the United Nations, the purposes and principles of the United Nations?
I don't know if I've gotten that far.
It's right on their main page, and
okay.
I got it pulled up right here. The purposes of the United Nations are, you'll love this.
Okay.
Number one, to maintain international peace and security, and to that end, to take effective collective measures for the prevention and removal of threats to the peace and for the suppression of acts of aggression or other breaches of the peace, and to bring about by peaceful means and in conformity with the principles of justice and international law, adjustment or settlement of international disputes or situations which might lead to a breach of the peace. Number two, to develop friendly relations among nations based on respect for the principle of equal rights and self-determination of peoples, and to take other appropriate measures to strengthen universal peace. Three, to achieve international cooperation in solving international problems of an economic, social, cultural, and humanitarian character, and in promoting and encouraging respect for human rights and for fundamental freedoms for all without distinction as to race, sex, language, and religion. Four, to be a center for harmonizing the actions of nations in the attainment of these common ends.
It's sick. I know. It's got every Marxist-Leninist word in there.
So beautiful.
Yeah. And,
it's so meaningful. We can all hold hands and sing Kumbaya as they send
after
us the friggin'
yeah,
gas
after chain. After they disarm us for their peaceful ends. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. Come and take it. I'm tired of it. I don't care anymore.
And,
you know,
and what a joke. All members shall refrain in their international relations from the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state. Really? In any other manner inconsistent with the purposes of the United Nations. So if it's consistent with their purposes, it's perfectly okay.
Yeah. I wonder how they're going to sell that to Iran and to North Korea.
Well, that's covered under number six. The organization shall ensure that states which are not members of the United Nations act in accordance with these principles so far as may be necessary for the maintenance of international peace and security.
That's hysterical. On a piece
you
of paper.
You bastards, get in line or we're going to bomb your ass into the Stone Age.
Unbelievable. Yeah, like you said, just because something's written on a piece of paper, you know, that's all it is. You could take a match to it, and they're doing it, you know, daily.
Well,
with our
the United States is certainly adhering to number five. All members shall give the United Nations every assistance in any action it takes in accordance with the present charter and shall refrain from giving assistance to any state against which the United Nations is taking preventative or enforcement action. Well, have we not been the enforcement arm for the UN since its inception?
Apparently. And everybody's marching in lockstep to their own demise. This UN is evil. Why are we still with them, and why are they sitting in New York? I know that we probably wouldn't win if we had a bloody revolution, but, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, you cannot get the majority of the people to wake up fast, and if you can't get them to stop paying their taxes and funding all this nonsense, I agree with you. Just say no, and if we start getting really smart about this stuff, which we have to do, we're going to have to create our own barter system and just go underground.
See,
literally.
I tried very hard. I talked very long and hard with Jenny Beth Martin, who's one of the heads of the Tea Party, and she's very influential. She lives right down the road from my neighborhood, and she was one of my customers. And at that point, I was just a cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs guy that didn't know anything. And the Tea Party folks knew enough to know that something wasn't right.
Sure.
Okay? But they just don't know exactly what it is, and they're so distracted by all of the various...
minutia.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, let's face it, gay marriage, abortion, health care...
Sure.
You can use Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. We can go right down the line. Those are nothing but distractions from the reality of the situation. And as much as those might be important issues on an individual level, what's more important is until we can collapse the monetary system that exists in this country and that gives power to this oligarchy, Until you can cut that out from under them, that's their legs. That's what they walk on. That's what gives them, it gives them a podium. It gives them a microphone. It gives them power and influence. And until you can take that away from them, you're not going to do a damn thing. And that is exactly why I have been flogging this poor dead beast of a horse since I started. It's the monetary system. Get rid of it.
I know.
Return the power of money back to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Strip away the curtains that are blinding everyone. This is what the Wizard of Oz was all about. Okay?
I know.
And until we can come to grips with that reality, we're just going to be whacking around the edges.
Exactly. And we're wasting our time, and that's what they want us to do. And I want to thank you so much for calling in. Thanks to Oz. Mike's in the hot seat, Bill, everybody out there, please come join us. Terry is going to do her show tomorrow, but it's 3 p.m. my time, 6 p.m. you guys' time. And she's doing well. I've seen her on Facebook. So everybody have a great, blessed night. And I'm off the air in about 9 seconds, and I'm going to head down to City Council and kick some booty. All right, guys.
Take some names, darling. God bless.
Thank you. You guys have a great one. And I'll see you tomorrow with Terry's show. Thank you. God bless and good night.